Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes.
Punk-ass ninjas can't wait to see the ice break. Bellin' through the hood with my chocolate rice cakes. 15 ninjas in a row, jumping out the bushes with a taekwondo. Yo, I jumps in my stand for protection, kicking up my coat like the Chinese connection with chop. Watch him on drop, you can't stop her. Teacher, get the grasshopper.
We like Street Fighter fine, though we were definitely more amped for Mortal Kombat getting a movie than Street Fighter was.
Well, there was the promise of more violence there, right?
Certainly, yeah. And I think, too, we just had more of an attachment to the characters of Mortal Kombat than Street Fighter. But, we did also like Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Like, we'd seen a couple of them before seeing this movie. So.
Weren't those R-rated movies?
Yeah, they were. But, yeah, our mom let us watch them. She was a cool mom.
I saw Universal Soldier.
Oh, and, of course, we loved Raul Julia from the Addams Family
movies. That's
right. And we already knew he was dead, then, when we saw this movie.
Yeah, October of 94. This is December of 94. And I guess you talked about your experience with the movie. I didn't see it in theaters. I did see it on VHS, and I was like, I was kind of annoyed because I was like, well, the guys in the movie don't do what the guys in the game do. And, you know, actually, it takes them a long time for them to get into their actual outfits, too, which is something that the Super Mario Brothers movie does as well. But yeah, I guess I mildly enjoyed it. And then in February of 2012, I did an episode of Retronauts 4-1 Up as part of our movie month. And I covered this one for an hour long episode. And I just thought it was like, oh, it's a bad movie, haha, doesn't it suck? And now I've come around and I watched it again the third time in my life, and I was like, well, I've lived through my entire 30s since the last time I watched this, and now I enjoy this movie. I enjoy this movie. Yes, it's bad. Some things about it are very incompetent, but as far as like giving you something fun to look at constantly, there's nothing ever boring in this movie, and that's what I like about it. From the beginning, it starts where another longer movie, the first act would that'd be the end of the first act or the beginning of the second act, like we're just in the shit immediately.
I remember in my earlier days in the Games Press doing articles about like worst whatever, like isn't this bad, or you know, talking about others, you know, very popular podcasts like the How Did This Get Made film podcast making fun of this. But I mean, the things about this that are bad make it more entertaining than most things, I think.
You know, I don't mean to disparage another podcast, but I have enjoyed How Did This Get Made, but that meme, what exactly is a Street Fighter? Mm. I just never got it, because it's like, well, street is an adjective meaning like underground or, you know, illegitimate or whatever. Like, you're a street fighter, you're a non-professional fighter fighting for money. I don't understand what the June Diane Raphael, what's going on?
It is a street fighter. Yeah, it's funny how she says it, though. I mean,
maybe that's why it was funny, because it's self-explanatory.
But yeah, the dialogue in this is very entertaining. It also, it's a crazy cast that actually is kind of, I mean, not everybody is correctly a cast, but it is a more multicultural cast than you would get in a movie in 1994.
Yes,
that's for sure.
I was going to say that it was movies like this and Mortal Kombat were the only times you saw Asian actors in a movie that's not about, like, you know, the Joy Luck Club or whatever.
Who are not, you know, a giant stereotype. Shockingly, playing the Kung Fu master stereotype from a video game is less stereotypical than most Asian actors got handed in American films back then. Yeah, there's a lot to like in it. And also, I guess I appreciate, like, it feels like the budget's on the screen, like just seeing, I don't know, now as an old man, I'm like, look, that's a big set. It's not green screen.
They blew
up
that styrofoam castle.
Yeah, they actually built some real shit.
Let's go over some preliminary info, because for this, I read like every article I could about it. Polygon's got a great like history of this movie. And also on the Blu-ray is the 1995 Laserdisc commentary by Steven E. D'Souza, the writer and director of this film. And that was very informative. And I trust everything he said was the truth. truth. So basic info for this movie released December 23rd, 1994. Was this a fun Christmas for the Gilberts?
And I think, you know, I think this was a January dollar theater kind of experience, actually.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. This is like real dollar theater fodder. That's why I saw the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, just like Super Mario Brothers movie, which is why I saw it after Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Yeah, this one just slid into dollar theaters. It was a real slippery slope after the first, like, basically the first day. So it had a budget of $35 million. It made $100 million worldwide, but only $33 million in America. So it didn't even make back its budget in America. It wasn't a Super Mario Brothers style flop, though, but still, this is why there wasn't another Street Fighter movie until 2009. We've covered that in the past. That's a much worse movie. That's a boring movie. Not fun.
Yeah, yeah. This at least has so many fun turns of phrase and great actors in it.
And Chun-Li is visibly Asian.
Yes.
She's not white passing.
Also that. Yes. Yeah. God.
But yeah, we covered that. She's probably like 8 or 9 years ago at this point now. But yeah, there was like a record-breaking drop-off in ticket sales between the opening day and the next day. So it was like the opposite of word of mouth.
That's a very bad sign. Yes. Yeah.
And we'll talk a lot about him during the commentary. But written and directed by Steven E. D'Souza. We covered one of his movies that he wrote, The Running Man. We did that for Retronauts.
Yeah.
He is like the master of action movie quips. That's why he wrote things like 48 Hours, Commando, The Running Man, like I mentioned before, and Die Hard 1 and 2. Hudson Hawk, anybody?
Oh, man.
Hudson Hawk?
Now, this movie is so full of quips that are like, oh, this would have worked great coming out of Bruce Willis, or better coming out of Bruce Willis, but you're handing quips to a man who doesn't speak English great in the lead of the movie.
Yes. He's struggling. And, you know, D'Souza worked with Schwarzenegger when he was struggling with the English language, but I think he took direction better, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we'll talk more about this, but on the record, Van Damme had a very serious drug problem while filming this movie.
Yeah. And also was, as I looked in his personal life section on Wikipedia, he had left his wife for his mistress at this point, who that mistress' new wife is in the movie for a little visual cameo, but then during the filming he was cheating on that new wife with a co-star.
It's really something else when you're cheating on your mistress.
Though, hey, you know, if you're a mistress getting cheated on, maybe you should have seen it as a possibility.
You're throwing stones in your glass mistress house. But yeah, one last fact before we get started. We mentioned it before, but Raul Julia died from stomach cancer. And they do a pretty good job of covering it up in the movie, but he is very, very sick in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
They said when he showed up for their initial like dinner before the shooting of the movie, he was unrecognizable. He was basically like a skeleton, and they had to fill him with food to make him appear to be like a formidable M. Bison figure.
Jeez.
But there are parts of the movie where you can tell his face is very sunken in. You can tell this is not a healthy man, but he's doing this as a gift to his children.
Yeah, I mean, so they'll have some money after he's dead. That's what's so sad. Like, he's dying at the height of his fame. He's never been more famous than when he's about to die, and he's getting offered big money roles thanks to the success of the Addams Family, and here he is, you know, dying. So instead of spending quality time with his kids in his last days, he's instead acting suspended by wires and being flung around everywhere.
He's doing the Psycho Crusher. Thankfully, his family came to Thailand for filming, so it was a big vacation for them, and I heard that was part of what helped him get a little healthier for the role.
That's good. But yeah, so sad. It's hard. And you see him in this, like, he has some amazing speeches in this.
Yes.